Everybody to Within the Cauldron and Behind the Witch's Veil. Tonight, my sister and I want to bring on our good friends from the UK, all the paranormal teams that we have talked with in the past year, and just to compare the US and the UK on paranormal activity. And sis, how you doing tonight?
Doing good. How about you? This is great to see all these faces. I love it.
It's great. Love you guys all.
Old home week.
So, we're just going to get started since we do have a lot of you on here. The first thing I want to ask, and you can take turns or somebody can answer, two, three, I don't care. How does the UK paranormal activity differs from the American hauntings?
Ooh, that's a good question, isn't it? That stumped us. Next question.
Everyone's like, yeah.
Well, we have to put our hands up. Should we put our hands up?
I'll put my hand
up.
There you go.
Yeah. We're going to fight over it now. It's me first. Me first. I think one of the things that we've got in the UK is that history. You know, we've got a lot of history here. You know, I work in a building that's nearly 1,000 years old. And for us, I think it's probably very different to the USA. You know, your history is a lot newer. You know, you've got a lot of buildings and items that come from the UK that still hold that energy, remember. You know, they still are of that age. But I think for us, you know, when we go to places and, I mean, recently I've just been to Hever Castle, Hampton Court Palace, you know, the Tower of London, all them sort of buildings. And we just have a tremendous amount of history that's almost like clumped together very, very, very quickly. Right. You know, so no matter where we go as investigators, I have to say I've never gone to a building and gone, actually, this is pretty flat. I've never picked anything up. You always find something, no matter where you go. And I mean, we recently, was it last weekend, the weekend before? The weekend before, we did an event at an old prison, but it wasn't that old. It only dated back to, what, probably the 1940s, 50s. But we still got an element of activity there, whereas, you know, we've been to older places, you know, Newstead Abbey, the Galleries of Justice, Nottingham Castle, you know, places that have got that 1,000-year history. And, yeah, it'll happen. But sometimes I think there's a communication issue with them very often. Maybe they don't understand what we say. Maybe they don't listen to us. Maybe they can't read and write, you know, that element of knowledge. But I think certainly the difference for me is that our history is so dated and it's so vast in a way as well. And quite gruesome, must I add, some cases.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I agree completely. Wow.
I suppose the density of area as well. I suppose with America, it might be a little bit more spread out across the country, where obviously we've got quite a mind map of places that we can go to in such a short distance. We can be a little bit spoilt, I suppose, for locations and the distance we need to travel to get to them compared to America.
That's true too.
There's another thing to that though. In America, there was a lot more space to keep buildings. So in this country, if there's a hospital that gets shut down or a prison, within a few months, it's a hotel or student accommodation, and you can't go in there. Whereas in America, you've got these amazing hospitals and prisons which are absolutely ages, and they're left to investigate. Vacant. More space to keep the things that you can go back and investigate with.
Right. See, once again, I've sort of gone the history, like I was going to mention the history, but like you've got a lot of the US ones which are new locations, and you're getting families who are in trauma, and you know who the characters are, and a lot of people will know the story before they go in there. So, you know, do they know these names already when they go in? And yet we go into a place of like loads and thousand years of history. Anything can go through. There's loads of layers, and you know, some of the imagery you pick up on, and
Yeah.
It's just amazing, isn't it? But just to imagine what happened on that spot a thousand years ago, it's incredible.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It is.
I think things that certainly me is when we go into buildings and we get in newer situations, you know, newer hauntings, I'm always very cautious about it at times, because remember there's still probably family members alive that connect to those individuals, especially if it's traumatic circumstances. You know, I mean, I live in a village where we've got an old mine shaft still, you know, one of the old pits. You know, and they don't want to do anything like that, because obviously there was a lot of local people who died down there. The families still live in the village. So, you know, I suppose we have to be mindful about that as well. You know, whereas I think it was a good point what Andy said, where over in America, you know, you've got some great buildings that you can just go into. Over here, suddenly if it's empty, it's all boarded up, it's all locked off, you can't get near it. The next minute it's been sold and it's been knocked down and something new's arrived. Yeah. So I think that's one of the big differences with us and the US.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're having a lot of fires a lot recently as well, aren't we? They've miraculously appeared from, well, we won't say developers, but, you know, and that's losing a lot of our history. And
allegedly.
Our go-to places are going up in flames on a regular basis. It's just, you know, and it's upsetting. Yeah, it really is.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about the US, but I mean, certainly over here, what I've seen and me and Jackie's seen, because we work together, is the cost of venues just getting higher and higher and higher and higher. And it, nowadays, it's not like it used to be when we first started out, you know, where people were grateful of you going in and having a look in a building and see what you could find. It's now turned into a big business enterprise over here. And some of these venues, you know, it's funny, I was talking to a group the other day and I said probably the average price in the UK is around £1,000 to £1,200 per night here.
Wow.
And some of those venues will only allow you to go in for maybe 4 or 5 hours. They'll restrict you to 30 people. So it's very, I'm going to use the word governed here now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, pay extra to film things. Well.
We have a little bit of that here too. You know, like in Arizona, it's not so much the buildings per se as it is the paranormal teams that kind of weasel their way into the particular building, and then they're the ones that are overcharging. We have a corporate company in the United States now that's literally going in. It's at least it's invaded Arizona. I'm sure it's across the United States, but they literally had been coming into some of these historical buildings, like, for instance, Acadia, which is in Oracle, Arizona. It's about an hour and a half away from Tucson, Arizona. And they'll go in and they'll take up to like 24, 25 people and charge $129 per person to do a ghost hunt tour. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not, and the building itself would charge, I think it's $60 for a paranormal team to go in.
Gosh,
but if it was a public event, it would be $200 if it was a public event.
Yeah.
But so do the math. I mean, it's like 24 people times 129 and you're only paying $200. It's like you said, it's a big enterprise. That money's not going back into the building at all. It's going into the pockets.
Cool. Exactly. And I think that's the issue, again, with the UK, when you've got limited resources of availability of places that are genuine and you can get into them. And then you've got, because of the industry growing and the knowledge of that, you get forced venues that are self-generated that can obviously, oh, look, we're available. The history might not be there and the paranormal element might not be there, but because it's open and they're available and they sell themselves as such a venue, that can muddy the waters a little bit as well. I think that's a problem we have in the UK a little bit, is everyone wants a little piece of it as well.
You know what that means? It means you're telling a lie. It means you're telling the lie. There we go again.
Speaking of the dead bell, thank you, Andy Guy. He was the one who made the dead bell and And everybody's just like, yeah, you know, that's what you hear. That's his career. So let me introduce everybody because I forgot to do that. So Andy Guy, he's one, as I told you, invented the dead bell. And and then we have Jacqueline Dixon, who is from the Paranormal Path. And we have Jamie and Ruth Campbell from the Paranormal Truth. Then we have Mark and Michelle from the Dark Side Spirit Seekers. And then we have Barry John, all from different parts of the UK. Now, Jackie, you and John are pretty close to each other?
Yeah, we're in Nottinghamshire.
Yeah.
I think we're about 15 miles apart, so it's not far at all.
Nice.
Wow. So the first question was awesome. I didn't realize so much. another question I have is, what location truly scared your team? Did you have any locations like your team is like, oh, hell no, I'm not going in there?
I've not been scared of a location yet. I think I'm probably more scared of the human factor if it's an open environment. Yeah. So it's more what you class as urbex sort of exploration in the paranormal building. It's not knowing what the human element is in that building before you go in. But yeah, I'm not really sensing the presence of uneasiness if I know that it's a locked off safe environment. I get more excited about being in it rather than scared.
I'm the one that gets nervous. I don't like dark. I'm like Barry. We don't like the dark, do we, Barry?
We stick together, don't we? We stick together. Yeah. The scary part on our investigations is Jamie, because he just pops up anywhere and he starts banging around. We'll all be sat there in a nice sort of seance environment and suddenly there's a big clatter through the door. And Jamie appears, you know, carrying all his stuff, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, he did say the human element, so he's human. There you go.
I think that's a really interesting question because, you know, I always say this, I'm one of the biggest wimps in the paranormal because I don't like the dark and I'm scared of being alone. So, you know, I love it when somebody else goes in the room before me. And anybody that knows me know very tactfully, I always hold back and let somebody go ahead of me into the room first. Because I think if there's anybody in there, they're getting you before they're getting me. And I always say to people, you know, the thing is with me, if I'm going to move, I'm a big guy. I'm 6'5" tall. Trust me, I will move over at anybody to get out of a room. I don't care how tall, how small, how broad or how wide you are. I will get over you very, very quickly. You know, and it has happened to me, you know, and people always laugh because I have been known, no disrespect to ladies, I will push a woman and a man, anybody out the way to get out of the room. I really will. But yeah, you know, I think at times, you know, people that I work with, Jackie, you know, Ruth and Jamie, you know, we've had some great fun, you know, and especially when something does happen and you're thinking, was that bloody Jamie again? Or did something really happen? You know, and we almost have to debunk the team first of all to see where everybody is. And then we start analysing it and looking at it. But I mean, you know, just lately, I mean, we've done some great, great venues that are totally unknown. You know, let's call them new venues. Mm-hmm. And we've had some wonderful activity. We really have. Things that I didn't expect to happen. I really didn't.
Wow. So I guess it's, you can say that whoever goes on investigation with you, they just kind of give you lots of space.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wondered what you were going to say then, Chrissy. Yeah. just give me space. In fact, just shove me in a room on my own and leave me because that's
the easiest thing with me. In the dark.
Yeah.
Boy, I want to know where I got to go to the UK because you know what? They usually I'm the first one in the building. They make me go in and do the walkthrough, you know, first, and then get all my information. So it's like the lead investigator is behind me. Here, push the medium in. Let's see what you get.
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to go to the UK.
He, Barry, is 6'5", and you're 5 foot.
And I'm 5 foot.
Trust me. You're probably a similar height to Jackie then.
I'm 5'3".
Oh, I'm 5 foot, soaking
wet. He's a really tall as well. So we've got a real mixture in our group.
Our team are really tall apart from me. They're all there and they're just ignoring us, like,
But you know, I think to jump back to the question, I think I've certainly been to venues in my time. And it's always that unknown period or that unexpected period where you walk around the corner and you think, oh, my God, what did I just walk into there? Or, you know, I've gone into a room on my own thinking, oh, there's nothing in here. And suddenly something's moved or fell over or, you know, a door slammed or something. And again, we always talk about this with our team where years ago, you know, any activity we used to get really excited about. Whereas now people's expectations, you know, if we don't get a full manifestation of a lady in white wearing all the jewellery and, you know, telling you a name and an address, it's a rubbish night. But they forget when the K2's gone off, when the bell's gone off, when, I don't know, they've done table tipping or glass moving or Ouija boards, whatever. And I think the problem is over here, is people see too many televised programs and think that's what's going to happen. As soon as I walk in the door, a chair's going to fly across the floor, you know, a picture's going to turn upside down. And it doesn't happen. It really doesn't happen like that, you know.
I think a lot of people, like, you know, when you tell them, well, what do you do? Well, in our spare time, we do paranormal investigations, and people are, oh my God, I bet that's so exciting. And it's like, well, actually, sometimes it can be very cold and very boring.
Right.
Yeah.
And nothing can happen.
Exactly.
And that's the reality. Yeah. And that's how it should be, because that's real.
It's not the entertainment paranormal.
No, it's like, there's a lot of waiting around for just anything, really. And sometimes you do get absolutely nothing, and that's normal.
Exactly, also in America too, we get that as well, you know. We call it paranormal entertainment because, you know, everything's a demon, and, you know, it's amazing that every single location has a demon and that somebody gets possessed, you know.
but you see, I've seen that, and I'm sure some others have as well, where we've seen that rubbing off now on the UK. Because before, we used to go into old build, I don't know, an old castle, and you get various things, you know. But then suddenly now everybody wants, pardon how I say this, the gateway to hell or the portal to hell suddenly to open up and something come through it, you know. And investigations that I've done over the years with other people where they've seen figures crawling on the ceiling and across the floor, and, you know, then they start talking to me about almost like dwarfs and things like that. And I'm thinking, this is all a little bit balmy for me, putting it in simple terms.
Vivid imagination.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Yeah, yeah.
Has anyone ever quit your team because they got too scared and like, oh, hell no, I'm not doing this, I'm out of here?
I bet.
I think that you tend to get, well, a lot of people talk about lone vigils. We're going live tonight. Who do we pick out of our team that's going to go into the dark and sit on the room in the room on their own? And I think that happens a lot. And it's normally the person that doesn't want to go in that room that gets volunteered, where the person that's putting their hands up and say, pick me, never gets chosen. Yeah. I think there's that element where, again, I think it's like the ones that are unsure and nervous normally get to be selected to go in in the dark by themselves.
So. That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. It's part of the entertainment for the team as well as everybody else. Yeah.
So. Yeah. Baptism through fire.
Mark, I'm sorry. I think you was going to say something right before I was asking the other.
No, question. I was saying obviously when we was going on about the expectations and all the programs that we say we don't watch but we do watch, and we obviously doing an event. You know, we get that from a lot of our customers.
You know, it's all, we expect this, we expect that. I tell everyone, don't expect anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we've yeah. been 8 to 9 hours with absolutely nothing happening, bored, sticking to comedy and Pro Plus and Monster to keep us awake. And, and then on another location you go to, after 5 minutes, World War III started. So it's that is the problem with, like, Help My House is Haunted and TV programs like that. You know, everything's, like you say, demonic. Everything's got an imp there. Everything's got something moving across the screen at full force. You know, and I'd love to see all of that.
Yeah.
I really would, but it just doesn't happen. And you can't, trying to convey that to your customers that are paid to come to probably get scared, you know, and trying to get that across to them, it's very difficult to watch these programs.
Right. Yeah. It's true.
I agree with that. And also,
I do know where a location where they did have creatures running around, and I'd heard about it frequently. And then one time I went with a medium, and he like put his feet on the floor and he lifted them up going, what are they crawling around? So I'd heard about them because other people had picked them up, but to actually see somebody freaking out because of seeing it. And then when he described it, it matched what the others had said.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... Haunted Antiques.
I think I know what you mean. I've seen some interesting things there.
But I think also, you know, it's like equipment nowadays, isn't it? You know, let's go back. You know, if we went back years ago, and we spoke about this when we did the podcast before, I was happy sat in a room in the dark, just chatting away, you know, talking, and you'd wait for something to happen. And then suddenly we started to get things like simple equipment like K2s, EMF meters, you know, we started playing around with general things, coins, flicking coins or rolling marbles or putting them in some flour on the floor. And then obviously we get wonderful Andy who comes along who devises all these great products for us, which we all adore and love. Yeah, absolutely. God, I tell you, my belly is my best friend now. It really is.
That would be environment.
I take it with me on investigations now.
Do you know what, Mark? When all these guys had got them and I hadn't got one, I was the mardiest medium in the world because I wanted a bell. And I made sure I was getting a bell. But you know, it's not them so much. What really frustrates me is these apps nowadays on iPhones that everybody has to have on. You can't, pardon the expression, you can't tell a blooming word what they're saying.
No.
And they'll come out with something and go, did you hear that? And I'll go, well, what did you hear? And they come out with this full sentence and I think, I never heard a thing. I really didn't.
It's like audio pareidolia, isn't it, really? It's
The
first person to say something quickly is what everybody else is meant to have heard and stick with. And I think it is difficult. And I think, it is another talking point in the UK. We see it on all Facebook, TikTok.
Yeah.
Everyone's got an opinion. And it's really difficult to stay quiet, stick in your own lane without sort of biting your tongue and thinking that I'd like to say a little bit more, but you don't. What we like about, is that Andy's equipment is that he sort of uses the elements a lot in his new gadget. So again, he's bringing sort of what's around you in a very sort of simple format that works, but it's sort of, as it was, we're all talking about it because it works so well because it's taking what's in the room.
It was a bit like on was it Saturday when we did a Friday when we did Woth, wasn't it? And we used the Hartley method. And I'd said to Ruth, me and Ruth were sat there, and I said, I've got to do this myself. I've got to have a go at this to see how this worked for me. And I was happy doing it, and some weird things come out that they were all taking the mickey out of me for, as they always do. But you know, I'm glad that I did it because I can honestly go, I can put my hand up and go, do you know what? I know how I felt when I was doing that. Whereas I think when you don't have a go, you can't comment on it. You can't say, well, that does work or it doesn't work until you're in it. You've got to be in it to try it.
And even from that, now we've sort of learned about how we can evolve it and work with it to get sort of better with the experiments we're going to do further forward in other sessions. And I think it grows, and I think with everything, an idea which got spawned by obviously FX and went to Andy and produced the kit and moved on from there, it sort of grows and then people pick up on it and then thinking, this is good, let's just do something else with it. And, that's the good thing about it, is like that type of technology, using the human body, aren't you? You're using your own senses again with a little bit of technology, and that's the connection between the two, which seems to work really well, doesn't it? As a group,
it's trying to not make you investigate with a piece of equipment. It's my goal is to give you some extra senses that you don't necessarily have, or back up things that you're feeling, as opposed to telling you random sentences and words, which then just kind of skew the investigation and make people go down the path. Which, if I was trying to communicate with those people who were trying to speak to me, and they were just focused on this app that was telling them all this dark, nasty stuff, and I'm just there trying to tell them about the place I really like, and I'd get frustrated. I'd give up. I'd just wander off and then see if anyone else is able to talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Swearing, you know, don't they, these apps?
It's a fine balance, though, isn't it, as well? Because obviously you are the best piece of equipment there is. Your senses are the best equipment to have. But having the equipment to also corroborate what you're sensing or feeling, it is a fine balance, isn't it, to use both, I think. And that also makes a good team, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I agree with that one. Yeah, absolutely.
So here's a question, kind of going, we go back just a little bit here, because we were talking about, you know, paranormal entertainment. So what, I'm curious to know what you guys feel would be the most believable paranormal show, TV show that's out there now. Do you guys feel that there's one that maybe is?
What, in this country?
Don't watch any.
Most Haunted.
It's not on TV, but I like that, the Supernatural UK show, the YouTube one.
What's it called again, Andy? I'm sorry.
The Supernatural UK. It's got a lot of people we know.
Oh yeah, I need to watch that.
Yeah,
really, and I will be soon.
Because
I'm going to write it down.
It's you see the kind of the boring bits of a night, but when something happens, they show it in a way which, to me, whenever you watch some stuff, like even like a movie about ghosts, you keep going, oh, that doesn't seem right, or that's a bit much. But with that show. It isn't, and they're really focusing on something does happen and trying to debunk it. So it's a good one, that.
The other one I found is Uncanny, which has come out quite recently. Which is pretty good, because they have like a medium, or they have a believer, they have a skeptic. They look at both sides. They take the case on from the person that's experienced it. Obviously, deal with it with respect, and then get both points of view. So we don't leave to say yes or not. No, it's fake or it's genuine.
It's up to make your own.
Yeah, but we leave it up to the audience watching which way you sway towards it. But I think they give it a fair, even sort of review of what they've experienced, of a person's experience that's obviously telling the tale. Mm-hmm. It's Danny Robbins that does that, isn't it? And I think that's the one I've sort of like listened to his podcasts and listened to the shows, and I think it's quite genuine in respect to the paranormal compared to other ones. It seems to be a good one, that one.
Yeah,
it is good. They say his lives are good as well. When you can watch it, go to the lives, they're very good. He's a good storyteller, though, isn't he?
He
gets so engrossed. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
I can remember we did East Drive with Danny. You know, we did it as a, I think it was a BBC podcast, if I remember. And we were trying to almost mimic what happened at the Enfield Poltergeist case. And when we was up there, you know, a couple of weird things happened, you know, and even for me, you know, and I'll always be honest and go, I can't explain that. I don't know how it happened. I don't know what happened, but something did. And I think what's good, you know, as Ruth and Jamie was just saying, is leaving people to make up their own mind to go, actually, yeah, I do believe it, or actually, you know what? No, I don't really believe what happened. And I think with certain programs, I'm not going to mention names, with certain programs, I think for me, it's almost preying on the vulnerable at times, you know, on people who need some attention, if I can word it very professionally. And I don't feel that's right for me. I really don't, you know, I think... You know, do a proper investigation, go into it and do a proper investigation. But, you know, you've got to think of individuals. What are they like? Well, you know, what's the health condition like? What's the mental health condition like? You know, and we have it on events. We see this, you know, and people will come along And you've almost got to try and either get them to engage or they'll be over-engaged with us on this event. And again, you know, people do come out with things and you almost think, can't really answer that one for you because it's not really making much sense. And it is difficult. It really is. It's hard. But I'll always repeat, you know, TV is TV. It's got to have some sort of interaction. It's got to have some sort of entertainment value. If we all sat there on a Saturday night for 2 hours watching a programme and they were sat in the dark with nothing happening, next week we'd go, do you know what, let's go down to the pub and we'll have a beer.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you? You would. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. If you could investigate anywhere in the world, where would it be?
Alcatraz.
Oh, Jacqueline.
Mm. Yeah. Queen Mary, because my dad worked in the engine room there. So he actually worked on the ship. I've got an original vaccination certificate.
Oh, wow.
When he worked there. So he always mentioned it when I was a child. Like, how does it do? They go on. And I think, yeah, whatever. Then he sort of turned into ghost hunting. Queen Mary, well, tell me. But by then he'd got Alzheimer's and dementia. And I couldn't get much information from him. But yeah, so I've sort of gathered bits about the engine room, but by the time you can go, is it haunted? Like, it was just too late. But yeah, I really want to go there.
See, I'm just a bit weird because I'd want to do something like an Aztec temple.
That would be cool.
I would.
I've been to a few Mayan pyramids. I've been to Chichen Itza, Uxmal, Ixcaret.
Wow.
Cancun as well. So I've seen some. And they're so absolutely amazing. And the environment and like what happened there as well. It was really kind of barbaric. And Mayan culture fascinates me. And that is up there on my list.
That's you have a lot of energy imprint on those buildings for sure, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's something there, haven't you? Or are you just not doing it properly? You know, it's
yeah, absolutely.
How about you, Jamie and Ruth?
What do you think? For me, I don't think we've had this conversation.
No.
Hampton Court.
Yeah.
I was so jealous Barry went to Hever Castle. I'm dying to go there just anyway. I've always been fascinated with the Tudors, so that would be me.
Mm-hmm. I've sort of done Bury Coll. We went to Bury Coll, didn't we?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, which is quite close to where I was born, and I know my grandma's sister worked there. So I went and looked around Bury Coll, and I was hoping to make some form of contact. But it's such a nice old stately home as well, just local to me. That was a nice place. And I'd like to revisit because sometimes, as I say, a second visit, a third visit might just open up the doors a little bit more.
Right.
Yeah, so I'd like to go back there again.
Actually, in Cuswick Hall, where you proposed.
Yeah, Cuswick Hall. Yeah, that'd be
my birthday. And that was on a ghost hunt as well.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
I love how excited you sound there, Jamie, when you say that. Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
Generally, it was, if you say like that. Yeah. You were scared stiff.
I was terrified that night.
I picked the moment for her to say yes because she was just too scared to say anything else.
Tears. Yeah. Yeah.
But it was a really active night, wasn't it? Yeah. And that's what I mean. Everything was going off as well. Like that. So it was good.
But you know, when you think, I mean, we are really lucky. So places like Thornbury Castle, you know, you can even go and sleep in Henry VIII's bedroom, for instance, that he slept in with Anne Boleyn. And, you know, going to Hever, you know, was just tremendous. And you can stay at Hever, but not in the main house building. It's sort of like a reconstruction village just outside. But we are really lucky to be able to do that, you know. Mm. And I would love to, you know, I'm like Ruth, I'd love to stay in Hampton Court Palace for the night and see who's going to come screaming down the corridor at me or something.
Yeah. What about you, Andy?
Well, mine's a castle as well, weirdly. I do love doing castles, but the one I'd really like to do is Cechi's Castle in Slovakia, which was originally built sort of during the Mongol invasions, but the most famous inhabitant was Elizabeth Bathory. And I've always been a bit fascinated in her story. And there's a lot of gruesome things that came out, but if you kind of dig into a little bit of the history, you can see actually it was because that there was some rich men trying to prey on her and take her land and made all this stuff up. But history has completely kind of lost any evidence of that, and they're just left with this story of her, you know, almost vampirism on it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those occasions where you think maybe if history can't solve it, maybe an investigation, something we're tapped into the paranormal, you might be able to then tweak a little bit more out the story and see if anyone there who wants to communicate that sort of story, which history's kind of forgotten about.
Hmm. Yeah.
Need a road trip.
where do you think you guys would, if you could investigate anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Well, Oz.
Huh?
You know where we'd like to go, Alcatraz.
Yep.
Hundreds, obviously, you know, and there's loads in this country, you know. It's I'd love to do the Tower of London. I really would, you know. It's but obviously that's off limits unless you're really, really into the, you know, the richer side of society. But one place that is megally haunted, and I'll say this, is Buckingham Palace.
Oh, I imagine so.
You know, being a guard out there for many years when I was in the Grenadier Guards, you know, you hear stories, you hear things and everything like that, and it is megally haunted.
Yeah.
It really is. Such an historic building as well.
Yeah.
Is there a location that you would never return to by chance? I mean, now let's take the flip side of it. Is there any locations that you guys would choose never to go back again?
Yeah.
Jacqueline.
somewhere close to Mark and Michelle. Not sure about the backstory, basically. Also, the specific night we went, I think it'd been raining for like 2 weeks solidly. And the rain was seeking through the roof, through the ceiling, and through the fuse box. So we started investigating, then realised how bad it was. And at 12 p.m, we just, that was it, we had to leave. And I booked an all-nighter there, so I was kind of stranded in Hull. And it was a bit of a nightmare, that was. And it's like 80 miles from home. Well, what do? You know, you've got to get a hotel, haven't you? So I wasn't driving home.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
What about you guys, Jamie and Ruth?
Well, for me, it was probably a similar health and safety aspect to it. We went to like potentially an orphanage, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Rotherham Way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a bit of an urbex exploring experience. So we went into the building via a fire escape through an upstairs window. only way as you do.
Really rickety, like metal
staircase. Windows had been like sort of smashed, but the downstairs windows were all sealed up. There was lots of evidence of pigeons sort of living there. And we spent an evening in there, and then we sort of realised there was only one way out over a period of time, and it sort of started to make us feel a little bit uneasy if anything would occur, anybody would walk in. So it was just one of those where it wasn't the paranormal side, because we did again seem to get a little bit of evidence going off at one point, which we're excited about. It's just the fact that it was that other element which felt
unsafe.
I wouldn't go back in. So there, it was more of a health and safety aspect more than anything else on my
part. Right.
I agree with that. There's a lot over here that's dangerous buildings. You know, as an urban explorer myself, I've done it for many years, and I've had so many near-death experiences kind of falling through floors and everything. Ooh. It's just
to
do it in the night time, I wouldn't even dream of doing it. To join the daytime is bad enough. And like I say, it's the human element. As well,
I'd agree with that, Mark. I mean, we recently did a place, and I have to be honest, you know, I don't know whether we'd return to it, because not from a health and safety perspective, but from a hygiene perspective, it was terrible. It really was. And you know, I'm sorry, you know, it really put a downer on things for me. You know, when the guests hadn't got somewhere to go and sit that was clean, you couldn't make a drink, or it was just silly things. And I just thought, nothing to do with the haunting of it, nothing to do with the paranormal side. It was all you've done is you've just got as many people in here as possible, and it's not really ideal.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It was embarrassing, wasn't it? For when the guests arrived, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll go one like that. Has anyone ever done Drakelow tunnels before?
Yeah. Yes, I loved it.
It's a fascinating place. It was like a shadow factory for World War II, building all the planes and things, miles of tunnels. But if you go there and you look down some of the tunnels, you think, oh, there's snow. The entire tunnel is covered with snow. And then you go another room and it's like, this room is hairy and black. And it was just this, every room and tunnel had a different sort of mold in it. And you think,
oh, wow. I'm
breathing a lot of this in.
Yeah.
Oh, I think the worst thing as well, the ladies' toilets. So half of them were smashed and the toilet paper was wet through because it's damp.
Oh.
So it's like left in there and then, you don't know if it's mold as well, do you? Because obviously it's dark. You're trying to balance your touch. You put it anywhere. And then, that was horrible. But yeah, wet toilet paper.
Nice.
Lovely. You know.
I miss it. I so miss it though.
Yeah, we're
that was an incredible location.
You miss the wet toilet paper? Oh, wait, no.
Yeah. And hairy tunnels.
I think like four cubicles, but I think two were smashed and one were like ropey, the other was even worse. And it's like,
oh my God. Yeah. We'd have to worry about that being blokes.
It's a good place though, wasn't it, Barry? Did you like it?
Yeah.
Very lucky.
Are there any regions in your area about a legend that no one in America knows about or no one in the UK knows about that you've been to?
A legend.
That's what I was all thinking.
In a legendary place that you have been to but no one else knows about.
Go on, Andy.
Doesn't do nothing.
For a few years.
It's
I live in the South Coast and there's this place called Curdridge and there's this medieval tale of the Curdridge witch who apparently got chased down by the visitors villagers and they went to go and literally kill her. And what happened next is they saw this hare running across away from the house, so they shot the hare and then they thought they'd killed her name was Kitty Knox. And since legend of Kitty Knox, there's this area now with a hill that's called it and the street that's called it, and people to this day are still seeing this figure cross the road that's there. So I go down that way quite often, and occasionally we've done little investigations where I've mounted a camera on top of the car and drove up and down looking for Kitty Knox, because it's such a profound legend that the local church even made a gargoyle of Kitty Knox and put it on the side of the church. She's well known locally. Even though it was so long ago and nobody knows much about her apart from the fact she could change into hairs. But I've not yet captured her on camera, but I'm trying.
I think we sometimes at a location, me and Barry and Jamie and Ruth have done, there's a lady called Elizabeth Shepherd. So basically she was walking on a main route home and she's been spotted by people sort of locally in the area. But I kind of think that she's coming through on some of the investigations as well. And she's trying to tell her story. So basically, she got murdered. The guy went to the next pub, another pub towards Nottingham, then ended up getting arrested and getting hung. And, you know, that's the story out there. But it seems interesting, the information we're picking up on. Mm. And it's like a continuous story. So I'm quite intrigued by it.
Mm. Wow.
We've been to a Hemingsfield colliery pump house, so an old mining shaft where the pump used to pump all the water out of the local mines in the area just to make sure it was dry for the miners to be down there.
Mm.
We've visited it three times now over last year, haven't we, I think? Mm. And you've witnessed or you've seen...
I saw something, but it was that quick. I was almost like, did I see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then that was the first time, wasn't it? We went back the second time and we were speaking to the gaffer, the boss. And I told him, I described what I saw.
Yeah.
And he said, go on, you.
No, it's okay. But it was, you'd seen a little boy or you felt you'd seen a little vagrant boy sort of in like Victorian. Or maybe.
I've described what I saw. I saw him from like knees up,
yeah,
and he ran and
from the pump house little sort of cottage to the pump house.
And he said, yes, that's the boy. Was he a vagrant boy?
He was a boy that had his dad and his uncle had died in a tragedy somewhere else, and he come to live with the family that was in the pump house. So he only lived there for a few weeks, and then he went into the pump house and fell down the shaft
and drowned
in the water.
And he said it's been seen at the side of the road. You know, there's been that many different sightings of him. And what I said he was wearing, he said that's the exact description that other people have given.
Yeah, so there's numerous witnesses on different times of the year on that roadside that have driven past at night and during the day, and they can't explain what they've seen, and it's like they've been there at that building, have had all these stories relayed back to them. It's like really something that we've sort of like intrigued by, really.
I've never seen him since.
No.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. But it was just literally, I just happened to look and I just saw this
something.
Yeah. I went, did you see that? Nobody else did.
We had the camera, and it's normally the case. We checked the footage, and the camera glitched around that time where I was panning across. So again, it seems that for some reason spikes or some camera anomalies don't seem to capture things where you really hope you do.
Technology.
Has there been a place that you absolutely refuse to investigate?
Oh yes. It's it's called the Husker Memorial, and it's, where is it?
Barnsley.
Oh, that's where we're from.
it was when Children was down mines and everything like that, and there was these children and some adults were down this day shaft, and they had the biggest storm of 100-odd years, and it flooded the day shaft, and it killed over, was it 26 children?
Yeah.
And we didn't, obviously, I didn't want to go. Michelle said, I'll take you to this because I've never been before. Mm. And exit point where they could have got out of if they hadn't been flooded, obviously it's got a fence around it now, but obviously you can slightly climb over the fence because it's only like 2-foot fence.
Mm.
And obviously it's been backfilled. So I stood on the actual entrance there. And no word of a lie, I felt like I was gasping for breath.
Wow.
You know, yeah. I was drowning. Yeah. And I have never been tearful so much in my entire life. I had to leave
the emotion.
5 minutes, I was in tears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, I don't want to investigate there. Never want to investigate there.
I can understand that.
Yeah, same here. Absolutely.
I mean, out of respect, I don't think I'd want to investigate there. And I said to Michelle, I don't want to go back again, never.
Do you know that's funny, that, Mark, because I mean it's like if you go on holiday, isn't it, and you go to an old place and people will always go, oh, did you pick anything up? And I think, no, sometimes I don't want to pick anything up because it's that respect thing of almost going, actually this was a real tragedy.
Right.
I don't want to connect with it. I don't want to be in that. I don't want to call it negative, but that real sadness period. Right. There, what's horrible, happening?
It's gut wrenching.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, children. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I've always wanted to go to like prisoner of war camps to pay my respects. Really, you know, that's what I want to do. Right. I don't want to go to investigate. I don't want to go to connect. I don't want to go to bring a message back or anything. And if people said that to me and said, oh, you know, would you bring a message back? I'd actually go, no, because that's not what I'm going for. I'm going because I want to pay my respects. Right. And I want to feel the emotion, but I want to feel the emotion for me, myself, to think, I hope this never happens again, that sort of scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
It's like Auschwitz, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to go there to pay your respects. It's almost, I've never been, but it's a somber place to go to.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I remember some YouTuber, I don't know if they was joking or they says, oh, we're gonna go do a paranormal investigation. And I said, well, one, you can't, they won't let you. And two, how disrespectful would that be? Disrespectful. Because that was mass extermination. For
Christ's sake. Yeah, I mean, but we find this. I mean, one of the venues that we use, and it's a place where I work, where I'm very close to, And we've got a religious building. It is still religious. It's still consecrated ground.
Yeah.
But yet certain groups have gone into the consecrated church with Ouija boards.
Oh, no.
And I'm sorry, that for me is, that's a no-no. You know, that's a sign of respect for religion. Even though I'm not religious, and I'm not, right. There's an element of where do you cross the line? I'm sorry, that's crossing the line for me because, you know, I appreciate that that's a place of worship. And I think that's what you've got to really think of there is where's the boundary, if that makes sense?
Yeah, that's one as well. I won't do a cemetery unless it's a deconsecrated one that
you've
been buried in for 100 years. And then so I don't want that thought of you're there doing the investigation and then someone walks up because they wanted to see their granny. You know, it's
Yeah, and you've got a Ouija board on top of their grave or whatever. You know, who are you talking to? I'm talking to this lady. Oh, that's my grandma coming through there. You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, it's bizarre, isn't it? You know, things that happen to us personally, and I've had things happen to me personally, and I openly tell people, you know, I don't want to call it privilege, but I'm privileged to work where I work in a nice way, in a very old building. You know, with some wonderful history, you know. And when I tell people that I've had my name called, I've been locked in rooms, I've had curtain poles drop on me, you name it, you know. I used to have a pub in the Cotswolds, and every night when we went to bed, we used to straighten up all the pub, put all the chairs around the table. We used to come down in the morning, and they'd all been put around the inglenook fire. And you used to think, okay, somebody's been up to something in the night, you know. And that was a nightly thing, you know. It happened all the time, you know. And you could actually, if you're upstairs, you could hear the chairs being, you know, like you drag a wooden chair across the floor. You could hear it being dragged.
Right.
You know.
Incredible.
Yeah, which pub was that again?
It was called the Black Horse in Shipston-on-Stour in Warwickshire.
Wow.
Yeah, fantastic old pub. Really was. Yeah.
Road trip.
Oh wow. So.
Well, I think this was awesome. This was absolutely great, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was great. You know, it's nice to, you know, have a podcast and just lay back and talk to some new friends and old friends and come together and share the ideas and everything with the paranormal universe that's around us. The USA, the UK, and other countries as well, like Canada, Australia, and you get it, all the other countries. What do you think, or what advice would you give to people who wants to start out as a paranormal investigator, as a team?
Wow.
It's a team. Be respectful for a start.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Prepare to be bored.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, exactly.
Take your own amusement because you need it.
Yeah.
Be prepared to be respectful. Dirty.
And keep yourself open.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. Be prepared to sit on wet floors, dirty floors.
Yeah.
Forget taking any form of
cold nights where everyone else is in bed and you're out there freezing whatever off. And
that's true. In the morning.
Yeah.
Hot, it's cold, you know. I mean,
I think
use your own senses.
I think people do think there's an element of a grandeur to it, don't they, at times? And let's be honest, there's certainly no grandeur to it when you're trying to make a cup of tea with lukewarm water most of the time because your power's gone off. That's if you've got any at all.
Yeah.
You know, you're all huddled in a corner to try and keep warm because there's no glass in the windows and you've got a minus 20 breeze blowing through the building, you know. And it's it's hilarious. I mean, I remember doing Alton Towers many, many, many years ago. And it was something like -9. And I got home and actually got straight to bed in my clothes because I was so cold. I just got straight into bed in what I was wearing because I didn't want to get changed.
I don't believe you. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But
I think the other element is not to worry about other people are doing. If you're going out there, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Just as you say, be prepared just to experiment and then say have your own thoughts and just try them out and just see what happens. And if it don't happen, then or it doesn't work, then so be it. But just don't compare or worry about if people are saying this happened here, this happened there. Just be prepared to just do your own thing and just learn from it. Again, there's plenty of people out there that you can get decent advice from, and you'll probably pick that up as you go. If you're serious about paranormal, you know who to trust and who to listen to and who to not. And I think, just don't rush it. Just take your own time and develop yourselves when you first start off. That's what we've done, haven't we?
Learn as you're going along as well.
You're always learning. I think everybody here is always learning from somebody else and taking advice.
Don't go and buy loads of expensive kit because you can get things relatively cheap. You might not like doing this. Go out once, think it's not for you, and then you're stuck with all this kit. You've got to learn.
Hey, don't look at the bell when you said that.
That's not expensive.
No.
To be honest, you should get some right.
Jacqueline, no, he's going to raise his prices now because you said it's not expensive.
But what it does,
Here we go.
But
you know, one of the things I'd add on is document what you're getting.
Yeah. Definitely.
You know, write down what you're getting because when you start out, the small things really do excite you. You know, when you get your K2 going off, or whatever, you know, your camera batteries go or whatever, you know, and you're really excited. But come like 5-10 years down the line, they're not good anymore. It just happens and you just put up with it. It's just like, oh, it's done it again.
Not again. For God's sake, do something different.
I remember the names and dates when they come to mind, or that comes out through board or rods or equipment. If you actually kind of take some notes of those, and if you go back a few times, you'll find that's just quite interesting about that same name in the same place six times.
Yeah,
on different means. And if you don't make some notes, you never kind of pick up on that.
It's interesting that, Andy, because our empath device. The first time it said my name, the first time it ever did it was at the priest's cottage. And a lot of the times when we go there, my name comes out, and normally in the nursery, which is weird. It's done it at a couple of other places, but and it did it the very first time it did it. And I actually called out and said, who was here in this room right now? And immediately it says Ruth. And I swore.
I don't think I've ever heard mine ever say Ruth. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Well,
bizarre.
I'm going to check it's in there.
Well, that's a good thing, though, Andy. It's a good thing it doesn't say Ruth when Ruth's not there.
It's chocolate in there.
Yeah.
Well, it's like as well.
Everybody in these last few minutes. So, Andy, let's start with you. Plug yourself in.
Plug myself. Always plugged in. So
by the way, before we get started, Andy, my daughter wants to know if you remember the big spoon.
Oh yeah. Hashtag big spoon. That's a good question for everyone. Has everyone ever been spooned
by a ghost? Big spoon. Big spoon by a ghost.
And were you the big spoon?
Big spoon.
Yeah. I'm sorry. She's not here right now, but she says she was here.
I remember. I'm waiting for that moment myself now.
It's a bucket list item for Andy now.
I'll let you know. But for me, best place to see what I'm doing and what things I'm making is skyatech.co.uk. It's where I put everything when I'm launching it or just showing it, or I do lots of demos of the things I'm doing on there. So that's a good place. Or if you find me on Facebook, I'm under Andy Guy. Always want to have a little chat with people interested in helping what they're doing. I'm very big into supporting other people's research in any way I can. So always happy to have a chat.
You got anything big coming up, Andy, that you want to share? Or
I've got a big spoon coming up.
I guess I walked into that one.
Yeah. Well, he just doesn't know when. Or where.
Yeah, it could happen. Yeah, I always bring something new to there's a convention in the UK called Parameet, which is like a big friends club now. It's a lovely place to go. But I always like to bring something new. So I'm bringing something called the Parasonics, which is an automatic jukebox which plays different sorts of music depending on what's been triggered. Ooh. And then then stops.
He's got it out.
And then if it detects the same type of thing, it continues playing or else it moves to the next track on that type of music.
All right, I guess all of us are
going to be coming in now, aren't they?
I'm going to be spending more money on Andy's stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. I have everything.
Do we need to stock up on 9-volt batteries for Parameet?
Oh, yeah. Got to get those 9 volts in. I'll bring some next
time. Some more, yeah.
Well, how about you, Barry?
You can find me either on the website, www.barryjohn.com. Find us on Facebook, look for Barry John International Psychic Medium, have a look for Ghost Hunt with Barry John and the Paranormal Team. You'll find us all over, just put Barry John in and you'll find it. But I mean, a bit like Andy, we'll be at the Parameet in Hinckley. It is a great, great family relationship now, what we've all built up. We all have a really, really good laugh. We take it all very serious. And the good thing is, we all have a very open mind of people's views and opinions. Last time we was there, I did almost like a trance session for people, which people were interested in because they've never seen trance. Maybe this time I might look at doing something different again. But, you know, you can find us all over. But again, like Andy, you know, we're always happy to support, help people. If somebody wants to ask some advice about, you know, ghost hunting, about mediumship development, whatever, just get in touch with us. You're very welcome. It's gone really quiet.
I put my mute on because I heard my grandkids coming up. Like, oh no.
Okay. That's it. Time to go.
How about you, Jacqueline?
Right. So I've got a group and a page on Facebook called Paranormal Path. I've also got my YouTube account, which I've said hello on there. It's Paranormal Path -1. That's what it says. A picture of Whitby Abbey on there. I am also on Ghost Hunts with Barry John and team because I do them with Barry and the team, so that's great. I'm actually a speaker at a charity paranormal event in Nottingham. That's on the 11th of July. That's Paranormal Penny Pinchers.
Yes.
So I'm actually running a court event, really, just to try and get spirit in and stuff. I'm sitting in the judge's chair to see what will happen, which is quite interesting there. also, in September, it's the Spook and Spirit Fest, where I'm a speaker there. So we're looking forward to that. Once again, that they collect for charity as well, don't they? So
you do, yeah.
Yeah. So I've got quite a lot lined up, and I have got a book to publish one day, but yeah, I've been saying that for years. I've written it.
Oh, yeah. It's right.
I have 69,000 words.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of stuck. But yeah. It's got a forward by Barry John as well. He might have changed his mind now.
No, I'll do it. I don't mind.
No, I've got it. He wrote it. But yeah.
Jamie and Ruth, what is coming up with Paranormal Truth, and how can everybody find you?
Okay. Well, we're on all main sort of like TikTok, Facebook, YouTube,
Instagram.
We're not as active this year as we normally would be. We're sort of picking our sort of activities. We're doing a lot of like team events with Barry and Jackie. We do sort of spontaneous pop-ups as well, where we're sort of doing a few things when we can. I think we're at a local place later this week we might pop
We've got a few things happening in the background.
We're
also in September we're involved in the Spook and Spirit Fest. We're on sort of like the team for that as well.
Yeah, the organisational team.
So, that's it, really.
Yeah, I've got a few things in the background which I'm working on. Yeah, Jamie's
working on
well.
Something exciting.
Well, yeah, which hopefully it'll develop over time, paranormal based. So, obviously, I can hopefully put that forward a little bit more as I get closer to the launch dates and things. And I've got a couple of ideas. One, I might have to talk to you, Andy, down at Parameet, just to see your point of view on it sort of thing. But
okay.
So,
and something else that we're hopefully testing out with friends.
Yeah. but yeah, so a little bit watch this space and see where it leads to. But yeah, we're available on all sort of channels, aren't we? So yeah, that's us.
Excellent. And Mark and Michelle.
We're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, obviously. We have our website, www.darklightspiritseekers.co.uk. We've been pretty quiet this year, though. We haven't done as many videos as we normally do because we've been that busy behind the scenes. We've got a lot of public events coming up. We're going to be at the Parameet this year, aren't we? It's the first time we've ever been. We're guest speakers again at ParaChat, which is it Hull?
Yeah, that's
organizer. Last year, that's where we met Jackie.
Yeah,
that was a great event. So we were invited back there again this year. We've got a paranormal penny pinchers in September coming up, where we're one of the guest teams there for hosting teams. That was it. Mm-hmm. And then we've got our own charity event coming up. Was it November? Is it November or October? I'll get back to
November.
And that's in aid of combat stress, which is a charity that's very close to my heart.
And that's Mill Street Barracks.
And that's at Mill Street Barracks. So that's a good one. And so we've got quite a few events coming up. That's all on our website as well. Our public events. Some are sold out, which is good.
Oh, so. That's awesome, then.
Yeah. So, and Michelle,
you have anything else you want to say?
No, I think so, is
there? I'll find when I get back up to the room, I've forgotten something, but never mind.
I do that too.
Yeah, you
how about you, Medium Red?
Oh, I just want to say, you know, Michelle, I can't wait to see my cards. I'm so excited. Well, my two sets of cards. I'm so excited. Really Michelle is making, actually, she took my image and she's making tarot cards for me, Medium Red tarot cards. Wow. And she's also, my girlfriend's into tarot cards. So I'm having her do her pet in tarot cards. So Michelle is very talented, let me tell you.
She's very good. She's very
good. She is awesome. Yeah.
Designer.
She's helped Chrissy too within the cauldron and stuff like that as well. So it's really cool.
Yeah. Always a pleasure.
She's my go-to person.
Yeah.
Anything.
Touche.
It has been such a wonderful podcast. Thank you all for coming on, sharing some of your answers to some of the questions we have. Thank you for sharing yourself, especially taking the time out. I know it's like 8 o'clock over there, 8:15.
Yeah.
Going on. So you guys were like, I'm ready to go to bed. But I just want to say thank you again. We appreciate this, and maybe we can get together in the future too, or maybe
absolutely.
Me, Red, and I can go over there and
visit
everybody.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
It would be awesome. But for everybody out there in the audience, please subscribe, like, and share our channels, and jump over to Barry's, Andy's, Michelle, Mark's, Jacqueline's, and Jamie and Ruth, and subscribe to their Facebook, to their channels, whatever they have, and just say hi to them. And I just want to say, get your spook on, don't lose that spookiness, and just have fun. Blessings, everybody.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Take care. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.